This is the Pretentious Wrestling Podcast, a production of ProWrestling.net. I'm Will, he's Jake.
You can follow us on Twitter at Will Pruitt and at Barnett Jake. On today's show, replacing Seth Rollins. All right, folks, you've come to the right place if you want to get in on the tail end of our $1 for 1 month of .NET membership special. Go to ProWrestling.net, use the code RUMBLE1, you can spell it out, you can use the number, you can do whatever you want. Use the code RUMBLE1 and get 1 month of .NET membership, featuring our exclusive audio, ad-free access to the site, and so much more. So, Jake, today the wrestling world isn't buzzing with Royal Rumble news. Sadly, the wrestling world is buzzing with an injury that happened Monday night. I'm particularly bummed out about it. I think a lot of fans are, too. Seth Rollins looks to have, we don't have final word here, but looks to have re-injured his knee. The extent to which is unknown, but there is talk right now that he will be out of WrestleMania. What's your reaction to the injury? And I'm kind of curious, what was your reaction to the original Seth Rollins and Samoa Joe angle on Monday night?
I thought the angle came across really well. I mean, I think they, you know, there were some issues I took, you know, when Rollins was giving his promo with Stephanie earlier on in the show. And I thought Triple H, you know, he gives a very particular kind of promo. And so you either love it or hate it. And I was kind of on the fence on which one I fell on. But I think the way that they led to the Samoa Joe, surprise entrance was good. But I think, you know, the way it came across on TV was genuine shock. So I think they pulled it off.
Yeah, I was really surprised watching it. I didn't know what they would do to get out of the Rollins and Triple H conflict without having them erupt into a major brawl. And I stopped watching the show on Monday night because we went to grab a couple drinks with friends, came back and watched the Hulu version without looking at the internet or anything like that. And I was really surprised sitting there Tuesday morning watching Samoa Joe debut. I thought it was a really, really nice debut angle. It established Joe as a monster. It allowed Seth to go somewhere but directly to Triple H. I thought it was really well done. It really sucks that Seth seems to have hurt his knee again. I'm not going to get into is anyone, you know, is wrestler blank injury prone or does this wrestler hurt people? I think a lot of those discussions are not for me to have.
They're pointless. I mean, people get hurt.
A physical business. I mean, what, Neville tore up his ankle doing a baseball slide. Like, that wasn't Chris Jericho's fault. He wasn't out of position. It just happened.
Yeah, I mean, you know, there are probably questions about whether, you know, X spot was wise or something, if you wanted to really parse it and break it down. But at the end of the day, I mean, I don't think anybody goes out there with the intent of hurting somebody else. And if they do, then that's something that WWE should obviously address. But, you know, it's like there was nothing in that attack that we saw on Monday that's like, okay, you know, this was clearly, you know, meant to injure. It's just something that happened in the course of events, and it's not a whole lot that Joe or Seth could do about it in that case.
Exactly. There didn't seem to be anything particularly unsafe. You didn't even see Rollins take the muscle buster, which I know had been blamed for Tyson Kidd's injury at one point. But this leaves us with a blank slot going into WrestleMania. It was assumed that Rollins would be taking on Triple H. On tomorrow's show, we're going to get into the full assumed WrestleMania card, at least as we see it, where guys seem to fit in. But for right now, I got to ask, what do you do to replace Seth Rollins? Do you just wish Hunter the best in next year's WrestleMania endeavors, or do you slide someone else into that slot? How do you replace Seth Rollins, not just against Triple H, but I think Seth was the top babyface on Raw, and it looks like Raw is right now just without a top-level babyface. And looking at the entire spectrum of WWE, aside from John Cena, who is a part-time babyface on SmackDown, I don't see a top babyface on that entire roster right now.
Yeah, I guess I don't know what their plan for Joe was, if things had gone according to plan. So it's hard to say whether he would have fit in to a match at WrestleMania, into a major match, I should say, you know, on the level of, you know, what was expected from Seth Rollins and Triple H. But certainly, I think you have to open the door for that now. They should proceed as if the plan was Samoa Joe was supposed to show up and injure Seth Rollins so that he could get Seth out of the way for Triple H. And I think they've already, intimated as much with Joe, commenting on Twitter that, he delivered as requested. So I think you set up Samoa Joe against, a babyface that they know is going to be ready. They have a lot of history with Joe and various NXT stars, or, even if they, if they want to pivot and have him take on somebody like AJ Styles, maybe, who is a babyface in, in just about every respect based on his reactions from the crowd, even though he doesn't act like it. There's some room to move. If I'm WWE, I move my plans for Seth Rollins and Triple H to SummerSlam. I find a babyface opponent for Samoa Joe, and I maybe consider, pulling somebody up from NXT, like a Nakamura or somebody, to take on John Cena, and then you free up other people to do other things on the card, because I think they are going to be missing someone, and they're going to have to pull someone from somewhere.
Yeah, it does seem like they're going to have to pull. They're going to have to shift where the card was. I think one possibility is just Joe versus Triple H. Maybe you find a way within telling that story that Joe, Triple H sends Joe after more people, and Joe the Heavy gets frustrated and finally turns on Triple H. It's a little compact. You'd have to tell the story very quickly. You would need to do it basically weekly with Triple H taking guys out up to the point where Joe turns on him and you get a big pop. But that's a way to position Joe as a top babyface, and it's a way to position it's a way to keep Triple H on the card and in a high profile match. And it's probably a better match for Joe than what I assume he would have done at Mania, and that's corner Triple H or be in a lesser match down the card.
Is it as easy as just having Shane and Triple H have a match? I mean,
that's another option. I mean, you've got a babyface and Shane, you've got a ready-made story with Shane and Triple H. Obviously there are, there have been reports, I think it was the Vice story, talked about them kind of feuding with each other over the years and all of that. You could probably get some very real promos akin to what we got between Shane and Vince last year that are kind of biting and cutting. There's a lot to that. I don't know. Jason made the point on the livecast yesterday. He didn't know that Triple H would want to have that match. You know, that there's a level of trust and a camaraderie between them, but I'm sure saying, hey, it's going to be high profile at Mania, it would engender a lot of camaraderie where they go, well, we want to have a good match. We're McMahons, aren't we? And shake hands and go out there and do their thing. I think that's probably one of the simpler solutions. It also takes care of AJ Styles being in a match with Shane, which everyone but me seems upset about. And I really don't get why anyone wouldn't want that. I'm sitting here like, hey, Shane and AJ sounds delightful, but everyone tells me it's supposed to be bad. So I have Shane McMahon colored glasses, so I don't really see the bad here.
You have dollar signs on the front of your glasses?
One is a dollar sign and one is a Jordan, actually. They're really uncomfortable and impractical to wear.
Yeah, I guess I count me among the people that was not thrilled that AJ's big reward for having one of the best first years in WWE was a match with Shane McMahon at WrestleMania, but I can
it's okay.
See
you can be wrong.
I reserve the right to be wrong. So I guess if you free him up for a match, elsewhere, I don't know if you would keep him necessarily limited to the SmackDown roster. Maybe they could just move Joe over there. I mean, they didn't really announce him as a Raw superstar, even though that's where he showed up. There's also the potential. Go ahead.
What if they just did that as a challenge match? I mean, I think at WrestleMania 23, Batista and Umaga had nothing. Not Umaga. It was 24, I think, that Batista and Umaga had nothing to do. And they were like, I don't know, man. It's a special challenge match. Raw versus SmackDown. Is it as simple as that? You just say, hey, Shane McMahon picked, Shane and Daniel Bryan picked AJ Styles to represent them, and Stephanie and Mick Foley picked Samoa Joe to represent them, and they're just going to have a damn good match at WrestleMania and walk away like brushing your hands off.
Yeah, I mean, it's definitely possible. There are ways to get there. I mean, it's, you know, we really don't know the status of Finn Balor, whether he's going to be ready for WrestleMania. I guess he could be another potential opponent.
That's
for
another guy for Joe to go up against.
Joe, you know, there's plenty of options. Yeah, true. I mean, it just seems like they have a lot of, you know, a lot of things in flux. It's difficult to say where, you know, where things are going to fall based on the medical prognosis of Seth Rollins and how they'll move forward with that. I guess, you know, what had been sort of tossed around on the web today was that Rollins is supposed to be out for 8 weeks and that Mania is completely up in the air. So I don't know if you can really make a plan around that. I think you have
That's
to plan.
That's almost the worst case scenario.
Right. You have to plan for him not being ready. And then, you know, if he's there, then maybe he can do, you know, he can be involved in a run-in, or, you know, if he's physically capable. You just don't know. Yeah. Especially the reentry of a pre-existing surgery. So it's going to be a tough call.
And a match with Triple H where Seth is expected to create a lot of movement in that sort of match. It's not a it's not an easy match to have, if you will. Like some others would be, where Seth could take it kind of light. I would think that they want a fully healthy Seth Rollins to be able to have that match. Do you look at this? So we're talking obviously about replacing Seth Rollins on the WrestleMania card. I think the more difficult thing is replacing Seth Rollins as the assumed top babyface of Raw going forward. Because I don't see, as I said at the beginning of the show, I don't see WWE as a company with a lot of top baby faces. I see a lot of second level baby faces. I see a lot of, you know, your Dean Ambrose type guys who are really great at that second level and can reach up and barely touch the top, but aren't quite there. On Raw, it seemed like they wanted Roman Reigns to be the guy, if you will. The only problem is that Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns, and a lot of people don't like that about him. And it looks like Roman Reigns will be an antagonist, at least through WrestleMania, in a match with Taker. So what do you actually do for the top-level babyface side? Is it as simple as you turn Joe and that's it? Do you call up Nakamura? Do you say, oh, thank God Finn's coming back soon? How do you make that top babyface side of Raw work out?
Do you really think Seth Rollins was a strong babyface at this point? I mean,
no,
I guess my impression of it has been that he's been sort of weak.
He's really weak, but, you know, when he's the best you got, I don't know who's better on that show. I've heard some people pitch Cesaro, who I think would be a great... I've decided in my head in the last 2 days, the best path for Cesaro going forward is getting... Shinsuke gets called up, and they put Cesaro down as the main eventer in NXT. I think that would be brilliant, and I may write a blog about it at some point. But Cesaro isn't a top-level babyface in WWE. Like, I don't know who that person is that is able to get slotted in on top of Raw. I look at that show post-WrestleMania and just go, but who do I cheer for here? And Seth, to me, was the best option of everyone.
Yeah, I agree. I mean, I don't know that they have an immediate best replacement for him, like somebody who can carry the show. My first gut feeling is that Finn Balor needs to be that guy if he can be there and he's ready. But that's, you know, it's all up to timing. I don't know if you can call somebody up to NXT and have them be in a position that Seth Rollins was in 6 to 8 weeks. You know, it's a tough call. Like, whatever they're going to do, it's going to be tough to have it ready for WrestleMania.
And for the show coming out. Now, this isn't as devastating as last year. You know, we're talking about an injury hurting a card, but it's not, you lost John Cena, you lost Seth Rollins. It's not the way last year was, where Shane McMahon was the emergency Hail Mary that worked. By the way, when Shane McMahon is a Hail Mary, he is actually the one being thrown by Aaron Rodgers on the other end of the field. That's how that works. Shane McMahon is actually an excellent projectile. And a great Green Bay Packers fan, I've decided, as all of us should be. But yeah, you're right. You don't have you aren't going to have something ready-made and perfect for Mania. You're making the best of what you've got. And in this case, you're not making the best of a bunch of broken parts like you were last year, where everything just seemed to fall apart. I would also hazard to say, at least right now, looking at the Raw brand that doesn't have a strong top heel and doesn't have a strong top babyface, part of me just says, it's weird, but Charlotte's the top heel on this show and Bayley's the top babyface. Way to go, WWE. You're progressive in your incompetence.
I mean, they're really, I mean, if you look on the SmackDown brand even, I mean, who are your really compelling babyfaces? Like, they just don't have... Yeah, I mean, yes, kind of. He is the ultimate babyface, but I mean, it's like just by default, because nobody else has really stepped up to, like, you know, be the heir apparent. You know, Cena is who they have, and he's part time. I mean, let's be real, like he's not going to be full time all the time. And beyond that, it's like Becky Lynch. Like, you know, they've set up a couple of the women as stronger babyfaces than they have in most of the male contested division. So I honestly, it's kind of bizarre. Like I don't know if it's this commitment to doing Shades of Grey and trying to create characters that have, you know, sort of this this, I guess, a more complex personality, but at times it does hinder them, you know, when somebody goes down and they just don't quite have a character that they can slot in and be ready and sort of take the place of somebody else.
Yeah, and that is, I mean, it's a flaw in WWE, and it's just a flaw. It happens in the world. Guys get hurt, and sometimes you don't have the perfect guy to back them up. I obviously hope, I mean, part of me hopes I get really good news. Seth is going to make WrestleMania, and all of this is irrelevant. But I think today, one of the better discussions to be had is replacing Seth Rollins going forward and figuring out how to cobble things together. Jake, tomorrow we're going to talk about the full WrestleMania card as we see it and give our thoughts on that. So with that, bye everybody. Thank you for listening to this ProWrestling.net podcast. For more, make sure to subscribe to the show on iTunes, hit us up with a rating, and tell your friends. Also, please check out the goodness of ProWrestling.net membership. Bye!